16th chapter of the book of Acts, Luke writes, "The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we're all here.' And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that they had believed in God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word in print and Holy Scripture. We thank you for your word in flesh in Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to us now from your written word of your living word. For it's in his name that we do pray it. Amen and amen. Our scripture this morning tells the story of how one man, a jailer in the Greek city of Philippi, came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted him as his Savior. And it also goes on to tell us the immediate aftermath of that decision in that jailer's life, how that decision changed his outlook and the way that he approached others. I call it the jailer's faith journey. As I see it, his faith journey began around midnight after a huge earthquake. An earthquake so severe that it jarred open all the cell doors and loosened the chains of all the prisoners. When the dust settled and the jailer regained his composure, he realized he was in deep trouble. For you see, back in those days, if a prisoner's escaped from a prison, then either one of two things happened to the jailer. Either the jailer had to serve the combined terms of all the prisoners who had escaped, or the jailer was executed. Thinking that his days were numbered, the jailer drew his sword and prepared to kill himself. But before he could commit suicide, he heard Paul shouting out, calling to him, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we're all here." What happened then is a pattern of how people most often come to faith in Jesus and then grow in that faith. And my friends, it's that pattern that I want us to unpack in our time together today. So let's get going. Note with me, first of all, that the Philippian jailer was a pagan. By that I mean he believed in and he worshiped the gods of this world, idols of this world. But in the earthquake's aftermath, he was trembling with fear. So in an effort to protect his own skin, he asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Let me tell you, friends, genuine fear often motivates us to look for hope in places we have never considered. You see, misfortune can change one's perspective on life. Several years ago, I was visiting one of our members at a Coastal Carolina hospital in Hardeeville. And I was walking down the main hall. A social worker spotted me. I was dressed in my black clerical clothes. Spotted me and asked if I would please go with her to the emergency room to minister to a 60-year-old woman from Florida who had just been in a terrible wreck out on I-95. Her best friend had been killed in that wreck, and now she was there in the emergency room in critical condition, soon to be operated on. I followed her to the intensive care, or to the emergency room there, and it was clear from the way the social worker was talking that like the Philippian jailer, the woman was not a person of faith. As I stood outside the little cubicle where the lady was, I heard the social worker speaking to her. She said, "I found a pastor. Would you like to speak to him?" She said, "Oh, yes." And then the social worker added, "By the way he's dressed, I think he's a Catholic priest." The lady said, "I don't care what he is. Where is he? Where is he?" And let me tell you, friends, when I got beside that lady's bed, she grabbed hold of my hand like it was a lifeline. And she was hanging on every word I said. See, that tragic accident on I-95 had changed her perspective on life. And now the unspoken question in her mind was the same as the spoken question on the lips of the Philippian jailer. And my friends, it's the most important question we'll ever ask. What must I do to be saved? Now, unbeknownst to me, the way that I had dressed that morning had opened the door for me to minister to that lady in the emergency room. And I think in a similar kind of way, the events that occurred prior to the earthquake paved the way for Paul and Silas to minister to the jailer. Let me explain. As our text tells us, before the earthquake, Paul and Silas had been severely beaten with rods and been thrown into the prison dungeon. Their feet had been placed in stocks to make sure that they didn't go anywhere. And how did Paul and Silas respond? Well, about midnight, the other prisoners heard them praying and singing hymns to God. I think the jailer heard them too. And I believe the sounds of joy and music and calm and trust coming from Paul and Silas during their pain and their suffering prompted that jailer to want whatever it was that was causing Paul and Silas to be in so much peace. There's a powerful truth here, folks. Unseen and unknown audiences are watching everything that we do. They're listening to everything that we say, and they're learning about Jesus from who we are and how we handle life's challenges. Paul and Silas were up against a tremendous challenge, up against a huge obstacle, pain and suffering. But they weren't grumbling and complaining in the face of their adversity. Instead, their witness in that dark dungeon cell caught the attention of the jailer, prompting him to ask, "What must I do to be saved?" See, their witness had created an opportunity for them to respond, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." You face challenges in your life. Unseen folks are watching you, and they're listening to you, and they're learning about Jesus from how you're responding to your challenges. I wonder, what are they seeing? I wonder, what opportunities to glorify God has your witness created for others? My sisters and brothers, we're members of Christ's church. We're numbered among those who have been saved because we believe in the Lord Jesus. And consequently, we have a role to play in shaping the values of our society. Jesus said that we're to be salt and light. By that, I think he meant that we're to give a Christ-like flavor to our homes and to our communities, to our neighborhoods, to our families. And also that we're supposed to shine the light of gospel hope into the darkness that just seems to be creeping more and more and more through our society. Like Paul and Silas, we're to do our part to show our confused society that in Jesus there is a better way. I wonder, have we abdicated our calling? Listen, friends, we've got to believe something before we can be something. Our society's got a lot of problems today, And I believe that underneath the headlines that are dominating the news on the newspapers and television and the internet, I believe that underneath all of that is a crisis of belief. Our society no longer has a core set of values that everyone embraces. We're a deeply divided nation because without a shared belief system, everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. And in many ways, folks, it's like we've gone back 160 years. We're back in the old Wild West where anything goes. Think about it. Feelings have replaced facts. Yesterday's wisdom is today's trivia. Commitment is an obsolete word. Truth is centered in individuals. Every evil is someone else's fault. History is to be erased, not learned from and built upon. Life is cheap. Children are being exploited. Individual initiative is denigrated. Justice is a matter of opinion. Religion of any stripe is being marginalized. Whining has become a virtue. Actions are divorced from consequences. And arbitrariness is now the order of the day. Again, as I see it, the root of society's problem is a crisis of belief. And I dare say that we'll be saved from ourselves only when we begin to believe in something. And as I see it, that something is someone, Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That was the answer Paul and Silas gave the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer who was desperately seeking a way out of his desperate situation. I know initially that the jailer was only thinking about himself. But after coming to faith, he immediately began to inconvenience himself to serve others. Now, friends, the two go together. Believers always serve. Paul and Silas had been severely beaten. Their bodies had been bloodied by blows from the mob and from the Romans. And what did the jailer do? After coming to faith, he took them that same hour, we're talking midnight, right away, he took them and washed their wounds. In many congregations, there's an ongoing debate about whether new members should be asked to get involved in ministry right away, not in leading, but in serving. Behind many of those conversations is a fear of offending new members by causing them to think that they might be expected to do more than just sit in a pew on Sunday mornings. Folks, I believe that the greatest disservice being done in Christian churches these days is being done by preachers who are tiptoeing around the truth in God's Word. And many of the biblical truths being soft-spoken today and soft-pedaled have to deal with the repeated call in Scripture for believers to be servants. Believers are to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? I am among you as one who what? Serves. As one who serves. Hear it again, dear ones. Believers always serve. After the Philippian jailer came to believe in the Lord Jesus, he began serving in the Lord's name. And then quickly thereafter, he became an evangelist. An evangelist. Started sharing his faith with others. The text tells us, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Now, some of you might think that there's nothing unusual about the jailer sharing his faith with his wife and children. But in this day and time, it is much rarer than you might suppose. There are many who attend our worship services by themselves, husbands and wives without their spouses, parents without their children. And a growing number of grandparents who come each week and are praying fervently for their grandchildren who are presently trying to survive life's storms without a faith anchor. Well, on that same line, It's interesting to me that many will give money to send a missionary overseas when they won't walk across the street to invite a neighbor to a worship service. Friends, the scriptures are clear. Starting in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, that we're to be fruitful and multiply. Well, just like the fruit of the banana tree is a banana, the fruit of a believer is another believer. And Jesus echoes that same thought when he tells the disciples to go and make disciples. There's no gray in what Jesus is saying. Disciples make disciples. Those who believe in Jesus and have experienced his amazing grace, they just can't help but reaching out to bring others into his saving embrace. Not so long ago, I was speaking to a fellow about personal evangelism when he voiced a sentiment that I suspect some of you might be harboring this morning. He said, "Chuck, I'm just not going to talk to my neighbors about Jesus because I don't want them thinking that I'm some kind of religious nut." My dear ones, we all need to be reminded of these words from our Savior's lips. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let those words sink in a little bit. For surely, as the sun came up this morning, the Lord is coming again. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I wonder, are you ready to meet the Lord? Or will you be ashamed to behold his appearing? After progressing from believing to serving to evangelizing in just a few short hours, the jailer took the next step in his faith journey. He celebrated with his new brothers and sisters in Christ. As the text tells us, that he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Without knowing it, the Philippian jailer was doing what believers in Christ naturally long to do, and that's to gather as a family, to share their faith, to strengthen and to encourage each other. You see, there's no substitute for Christian fellowship in building up the body of Christ. Note that sentence again. There's no substitute for Christian fellowship in building up the body of Christ. The truth of that statement has become so clear to me during the last 6 months as we've been coping with the various coronavirus restrictions. While I'm thankful for the technology that enables our online worship, let me tell you, I have so missed our in-person worship services. Without the mask, without the social distancing, I've just missed it all. I've missed it because those are times of Christian fellowship with me. I love seeing you. I love hugging you. I love catching up with the latest happenings that are going on in your lives. I enjoy you seeing you interacting with each other before and after the services and in the parking lot and then the coffee times. Indeed, I cherish the laughter and the tears that are inevitably shared when we gather. Our worship services remind me of the week each summer that Becky and I spend with our family at Edisto Beach. All the children, the grandchildren, all 11 of us gathered together in one house for a week. It's glorious, it really is. And then when Becky and I return to Bluffton from Edisto, we're glad to see all of y'all, because y'all are part of our family too. And I believe it's that way with God. Because you see, God loves you even more than I do. God's got a huge, huge family. But all of them together can never take the place of any one of you. There'll always be an empty spot in God's heart and an empty seat at God's table when you're not with him. I want to close with two questions that I want each of you to honestly answer for yourselves. The Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Have you taken that all-important first step? You believe in the Lord Jesus? Then the Philippian jailer modeled what a believer's life entails. Has your faith journey progressed beyond believing in the Lord Jesus? Are you a servant, an evangelist, who rejoices in the company of your sisters and brothers in Christ? Are you? Oh, I pray so. I pray so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's time of mask wearing and social distances has made it easy for us to hide. Hide the reality from ourselves and from each other. But you see through it all. As you see past the outward appearances, you know our hearts. And I suspect that you look at many this morning, you're just weeping, Lord. Because you know we are far, far, far away from you. We're fearful. It's like we're in a prison in stocks of fear. We're in a desperate situation. We're crying inside and we just can't see a way out. Lord, convict us with your spirit that we might ask what the jailer asked. What must I do to be saved? And then, Lord, by your grace, put someone near us who will answer as Paul and Silas did. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Come, Lord Jesus. In your name we do pray it. Amen and amen.